You see, I believe that when God created humanity, when he created Adam, he created Adam to live in relationship. We know that God spoke and everything that we have came into being. The earth, the seas, the animals, the birds. And then he formed Adam. And as he went through each stage, you're familiar with the account in the book of Genesis. Through each stage, God looked at it and said, it's good. This is good. This is good. Over and over again, God saw it and said it was good. Until he got to Adam. And then he said, but Adam needs a partner. And so he created Eve. And that was good, because they had to live in relationship with each other. We understand that. As you came to church today, you were expecting to see Dan and Kim. You were expecting to see others that were here, family members that were here. You heard that the bishop was coming. So you expect to see them. And we know that when we come into church, how important it is. You had a very nice greeter standing outside. How that smile, that handshake, that hug, how much that means to us. As people, we need that. As I said, you all come to church because you realize that, yes, you could be a Christian technically and never come to church, but you really can't be the kind of Christian God wants you to be without being part of the body. And so too, Rikes, as I just said, understands that Rikes Church can accomplish so much more when we live in relationship with other EC churches on a district or in a denomination. And so you're a part of the Evangelical Congregational Church. Well, if all of those things are true, and I truly believe that they are, the question, though, is when we go back to the book of Genesis, Adam was not only created to live in relationship with Eve, they were created to live in relationship with each other, but they were also created to live in relationship with God. And sometimes I think we forget that we're designed to live in that relationship. The psalmist in Psalm 42 said that my soul thirsts for God. He adds then, for the living God, because we understand that people have created all kinds of false gods, all kinds of idols, all kinds of things to replace God in our lives, but none of them work. And so the psalmist said in Psalm 42, he used the illustration of a deer, or really any animal, that thirsts for water and searches it out. So he says, I search out for God, for the living God, to live in relationship with him. The disciple, Philip, said to Jesus one day, just show us the Father. Basically saying, just show us God. Help us to understand who God is. Help us to know God. And what was Jesus' response? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We say as a denomination, the EC Church, that our purpose statement is to know Christ and to make him known. That's a good thing. And yet we realize that there is so much to knowing Christ, so much more than a lot of us even understand. Because knowing him is not just knowing facts and figures. It's not just knowing Bible stories. It's not just knowing things. It's knowing him. To live in that relationship that we were created to live in with our Heavenly Father means to know him better and to love him more each and every day. That's really the journey of discipleship, isn't it? To know him better, to love him more. And that can be seen as we live out our lives in obedience to him. So how do we do that, really? Because so often, all the demands of life, all the stuff of life, can tempt us to forget that relationship that we were created to have with him. Well, it's not that hard. It's much like our relationships here amongst each other. And in order to really have a relationship with God, we have to spend time with him. How can you be a friend without being available to somebody? Did you ever have a friend that over the course of time, over years, you just spent less time with them and less time, and you'd talk on the phone, but then, you know, there was more time going between phone calls, and pretty much, I'm not sure how all of these definitions go, but they move from friend to acquaintance to somebody that, yeah, I know them, but we haven't talked for years. The temptation for us as followers of Jesus Christ is to allow all of our responsibilities, all of the things that clamor for our attention, to interrupt or to overwhelm the time that we need to spend with him. So how available are you? Do you take those special times in addition to the regular times? You know, we see our children fairly often. We're blessed in that. I mean, we have three children, a daughter and then twin boys. And our daughter and her husband and their boys live in Lititz, so that's relatively close to us. Our son, Matt, and his wife and three kids live in Lancaster County in the Reinholds, Denver area. They live actually in Blainsport, but nobody knows where that is. It's kind of one of those, you know, name but not a place in the country. So that's not that far from us. We see them occasionally. Our other son, Tim, lives in Western Pennsylvania, just about 10 miles from the West Virginia border, the southwest corner of Pennsylvania. We don't see them quite so much. And so one of the things we've done as grandparents and as parents is we've tried to do a family vacation about every second or every third year. You go on any of those where you get the whole group together and go away? We usually go to the beach. Past year, we didn't go to the beach. Daughter remembers from years ago when we took a family vacation to Tennessee, to Pigeon Forge area and, Smoky Mountains. And she wanted her boys to experience that. And so we went there and we went horseback riding and hiking and all that kind of stuff. We went to Dollywood, which I don't even think existed back then. I'm not sure about that. I don't think it did. There were 17 of us in one house. You want to talk about spending time with each other? Getting to know each other? But the reality is that Gloria and I feel that that's important, to stay connected to our kids, to stay connected to our grandkids. To not just go to a soccer game where they're down on the field and we're sitting up in the stands screaming while Gloria screams, I'm not allowed to say anything because she hits me because she says, you don't know who's sitting around you. Other parents or grandparents. Not only going to dance recitals, those kill me. Did you ever go to a dance recital? You go for like 4 hours to watch one dance. It's like, seriously? I mean, So I always make sure my phone's charged up. And hopefully I can get Wi-Fi wherever I am. Watch what's going on there. And then, you know, okay, it's time to watch the dance. This is what we came for. Paid a lot of money for. Those events are neat. They're special. They're good. But we need to spend time together. You see, that's like, you can say, well, I spend time with God because I come to church. I visit his house. You know, we call this God's house. Well, I come to visit him once a week or every other week or once a month or whenever it is. And we say, well, I'm good. I spend time with God. Really? See, he doesn't want more of our attention some of the time. He wants us all the time in order to have that relationship, in order to know him better, in order to be a disciple of God's, a follower of Jesus Christ. I need to spend time with him, regular time with him. But not only just spending time with him, I need to be able to be open and communicate with him. I mean, that goes with our relationships too, doesn't it? Let me tell you about a typical night at our house. A typical night at our house is that we're in our family room. You know, it's kind of open to the kitchen. We've done our chores or done shopping or whatever it is that we needed to do. And finally, we're in the family room together. The TV's there, and the TV's on. I'm on this side of the family room in the recliner, as it's supposed to be. Gary gives me a thumbs up, okay, as it's supposed to be. I have the remote control, as it's supposed to be. You might disagree with that one. Gloria's on this side of the family room. She's on reclining on the sofa, as it's supposed to be. She works hard all day. The TV's on. I'm over there. She's over here. I'm reading something. She's got the iPad, and she's reading something or playing a game. Now, you could say we're spending time together, right? But are we talking to each other? No. We're doing our own thing. Yeah, the TV's on, so we may make a comment about that occasionally, but does that describe your relationship with God? That something, yeah, God's with me, I get that, but there's other things that need to happen. There's other things that I want to do. John Ortberg, as a well-known Christian writer, has said, of all the aspects of the Christian life and our relationship with God, it's probably prayer that is the one thing that most clearly demonstrates that God wants to have a personal relationship with us. That he wants us to talk to him and share our hearts with him. You see, prayer isn't just about, you know, the Lord's Prayer, as important as that is and as good as it is. It's not about some other prayer. It's not just saying God is great, God is good. It's sharing our hearts with him. And the amazing thing is that God wants to speak to us. I mean, isn't that the reality that God wants to communicate with us? Isn't that why he's given us his word? And we act like this is a textbook sometimes, and I guess in some ways it is, but in truth, this is a love letter to us to reveal himself and the heart of God to us. The reason he gives us his Holy Spirit is to communicate with us God's heart and my heart, your heart. But too often in this hurried, go faster world, we don't give time for that. We have other things to do. We have other more pressing needs, we think. God loves to communicate with us. It's why he gave us his word. It's why he gives us his Holy Spirit. It's why Jesus came to reveal the heart of God, the love, the mercy, the grace of God. Do we open our hearts to receive that message? When was the last time that you or I sat down to just spend time with God? To just open our hearts and our minds to him. To let him know the things that we find joy. To let him know the things that we struggle with. To listen to him, to talk to us. You know, as followers of Jesus Christ, do we know God better than we did yesterday? Do we love him more than we did yesterday? I mean, we may wonder, well, how do I judge that? How do I come to some understanding if I really do know love God better? If I love God better or love God more? How do I figure that out? John says it's that third word that he weaves together. It's knowing God better. It's loving God more, and it's seen in obeying him. It comes out in our lives. You know, we are all, I think, speak for myself, but I think even in Scripture, and certainly in the people that I've talked to over the years, we are all tempted to partial obedience. I mean, so there are some things that are just easy to obey. They aren't really temptations to us. We just kind of do it. But there's other things it's like, eh. I'll tell you another story of our family. As I said, we have 9 grandchildren, 6 boys, 3 girls. And we live in a normal house. You know, I already described we have a family room. It's kind of attached to the kitchen. And then, you know, down the little hallway towards the front door is a powder room. So, you know, the kids are over to the house, the grandkids, and they go to the bathroom. That's a good thing. The boys don't always do that. Sometimes that's outside, so I'm happy that they come inside to go. Because, well, most of them live on a farm somewhere, either in Lancaster County or in Washington County. So, you know, it's boys. What can I say? So they come in and they use the powder room. They walk out of the powder room. What's the question that you ask? Did you flush the toilet? And often, as they're walking into the family room or into the kitchen and are getting ready to go back outside, and I say, did you flush the toilet? It's, you hear the toilet flush. Then they come out again. Did you wash your hands? Does that describe our relationship with the Lord? That he has to always be saying, did you show love to somebody? Did you encourage somebody? That he just needs to be reminding us over and over. Or with our oldest grandson, who's now 15, the other month they were all at our house and we were getting ready to eat. And just before we ate, Ethan said, I need to go to the bathroom. So he went to the bathroom. He came back out. And in our tradition at the house is when we're, well, even when it's just Gloria and I, but when the family's together, we all hold hands when we say grace. And so we were standing in the kitchen, and the food, I guess, was on the island in the kitchen, and we were kind of just all arrayed around the island, and, you know, it was time to say grace. And so we went to hold hands, and I looked at Ethan and just kind of jokingly said, did you wash your hands? Now, let me tell you how I figured that out. The little thing I've done is Gloria is a great help in this. In our downstairs bathroom, she buys like the pump soap, but it's, I don't know what it is. It's like springtime lavender melon blossom something. And it smells a lot. It smells good. It smells wonderful. We love it. One of the things I've done with the grandkids after the question of, did you wash your hands? If they say, you know, well, yes, I wash my hands. I say, let me smell them. Sometimes they turn around and walk back. So anyway, the other month we were getting ready to pray, and we were all standing around the aisle, and then we were just, you know, grasping each other's hands. And Ethan comes walking out of the bathroom, and I just kind of jokingly looked at him and said, did you wash your hands? First thing he said to me is, you want to smell them? You see, that is what God, weird illustration, but what God wants from us, that when he says, did you help somebody today? Did you show my love to somebody today? We can say, sure. You want to check? Go right ahead. Check. I know what you want, God. I love you and want to please you. So you can see it in the way I live my life. It's just a part of who I am. I do it because I know you, because I love you. David, as he was giving his closing, David was dying. He knew he was dying. And he was giving final instructions to Solomon, his son, who was going to take over the kingdom. And he said to Solomon, you know, keep the decrees, commands, and regulations and laws written in the law of Moses. Observe the requirements. Follow of God. Follow his ways. That was the important lesson. Now, if you know anything about David, you know he learned that the hard way. But he learned it. A man called according to scripture after God's own heart, who loved God, who knew God. It's amazing to me that, you know, you read the Sermon on the Mount, you get to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and the Sermon on the Mount is an amazing sermon. It's a radical sermon. If the church would live out, truly be able to live out the Sermon on the Mount, it would change everything. And yet at the end of that, Jesus looked at his disciples and said, this is the Bruce Hill translation, did you ever realize all these people who call me Lord, but don't do what I ask them to do? They seem to attribute to me authority and power by using that title Lord, but the reality is they ignore me. What's with that? People who say they know him. He said, when that day comes, I'll say, I don't know you. Oh, that each day our goal as followers of Jesus would be to know him better and to love him more, and to have that lived out in obedience. One last quick story, and that's in the Bible, the Old Testament. One of the stories that just always fascinates me is the story of Jonah and the whale. You've heard it. Maybe you went to Sight and Sound. They did it the other year. Maybe you're old like me and you remember the flannel graph and the teacher in Sunday school put up a big fish and everything. Think about the characters that are in the story of Jonah and the whale. And I use that term characters kind of generally, but you have certainly Jonah is the first one we think of. He's the prophet of God. I mean, that's pretty amazing to be called the prophet of God. God chose him to share God's word, God's message, the prophet of God. You have a ship and the sailors on the ship. You have wind and waves and storm. You have, of course, the other big character, the fish, the whale that ate Jonah and then spit him up. Couldn't have been a fun experience for either of them. You have the people of Nineveh along with the king of Nineveh. You have a plant that grows up to provide shade. You have a worm that comes to eat the plant, to kill the plant. That entire story is an amazing story. I'm amazed by it because who was the only character that didn't obey God? Jonah, the prophet. Seriously. Which one are you and I most like on most days? To know him better, to love him more, means to obey. And to be, John says here, to live a life like Jesus. I don't think there's anything more important in life than having a personal relationship with God the Father through faith in Jesus Christ. To know of his abiding presence. To truly grasp when Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forget you. I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit so that you will know, we call it in theological terms, the witness of the Spirit. You will know that I am with you. We can be tempted in Christianity to make God's presence the result of saying certain words or going through certain ceremonies or showing up at church on certain days, or, you know, there's all kinds of formulas that people have come up with. And that's what ensures that relationship, but it's not. It's knowing him better, loving him more, and living that out through obedience. You see, that relationship with God is not one more thing to do on our growing and ever-expanding to-do list. It is the list. It's what we were created for. And we're here today because of that love relationship. And so I pray that till the end of the day, when you get ready to go to sleep, tomorrow, if you get up and work around the house or go to work or whatever it is, go to school, whatever it is you need to do tomorrow. And then tomorrow night when you get ready to lay down, that you would be able to see God, to hear God, to know he's with you, yes, here when you're in this building, but also when you're outside. To hear him speak. That tomorrow night, or even tonight, as you get ready to lay down, you can say, I've experienced God. And I've heard him, and I've seen him, and I've felt him today. So that at the end of the day, I know him better. And I love him more. And he knows that, because he knows how I've lived. And I've obeyed him as best I can today. Let me pray for you. Our Father God, as we bow before you now, I'm thankful for your great love, that you would love us so much that you would send Jesus into the world, that he would reveal you to us is truly amazing. The creator of everything knows me, loves me, and wants me to know and love him. Wow. I pray for these that are part of the Reichs family, Lord. This church, and ask that you would watch over them and bless them, strengthen and encourage them. Lord, speak to them that they might know you better and love you more. That, Lord, they would be able to obey you with their lives. I'm thankful, Lord, for Dan and Kim and their leadership in this congregation, along with their leadership team. Bless Dan and Kim with strength and again with health. Lord, I pray that as they get ready to go on vacation, that they would be able to relax and be restored, that you would speak to their hearts. Continue to give Dan a vision for this church and for its ministry in this community. May Maytown, Marietta, Western Lancaster County, may they know about this church, that this is a place and a people who know you, who love you, and who obey you. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.